How's everyone doing? Good. Hey guys, open your Bibles, Matthew 25. And while you're opening, I will open us in prayer. God, I thank you for such a beautiful day outside. As we were out there playing football, and even yesterday as we had the barbecue, God, you've just blessed us with such an incredibly perfect weekend. And God, I just pray that as nice as it is outside, that you will focus us right now on your word, that you will allow these allow this parable to speak to our hearts and allow us to see things maybe in a different way than what we saw them before, God. We love you so much. In your name, amen. How many of you guys watched the Super Bowl this year? Yeah? You don't have to be shy. You guys can say if you did. If you didn't watch the Super Bowl, how many of you guys have seen the E-Trade commercial with the baby? Have you guys seen this? It's kind of a baby. Well, it is a baby. It's not kind of a baby. It's a baby. And he's sitting in his high chair, and he's sitting at the computer, and it's like a webcast and or a video cast or whatever you want to call it. And he's saying, well, you know, a lot of people say that maybe I'm not old enough to be trading on the stock market, but I don't think age really matters. And he's going through this. And he's like, look. And he clicks the mouse, he's like, look, I just bought some stock. And it's just this little baby, his mouth's moving the right way. It's really cool how they did it. But at the end, he says this. He says, look, if I can do it, you can. And he, like, spits up, like a baby spits up all over the keyboard. And he says, like, whoa. And that's the end of the commercial. And E-Trade comes up, and they have their ending where they show their logo. And it says, it's so easy, a baby can do it. And then there's another commercial later on that has him, same thing, kind of talking the same way, but there's a clown in the back room doing a balloon animal. And he's like, yeah, me and my friends got together and we figured out how we could spend the money we've been making on E-Trade. We could have this clown. And he looks at the camera and he's like, I really underestimated the creepiness of this, though. So anyways, again, it goes on at the end and he says, hey, it's so easy, a baby can do it. Well, today we're going to look at how investing, no matter how old, no matter how young, is something that we all can do as well. So let's open up Matthew 25, and we're going to kind of go through this and pick a couple verses and talk about them, and we'll finish up the parable. It says in verse 14, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, 2 bags of gold to another, and 1 bag of gold to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. Stop there. Now I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today because it's a little easier to understand the story. But you guys have probably a New King James. And so we'll kind of go through and I'll explain what's going on. But the first thing we're going to look at is the investment in this story. And we're going to see the servant. We see in this, it talks about a servant. You guys may have a version that even says slave. But this is not what we think of today as a slave. We think of a slave as someone who's against their will, in chains and shackles, and they're whipped out in the field, that kind of thing. And they do work that they don't want to be doing. They'd rather be free. But this servant that we're talking about here is actually what's called doulos in Greek, or the bond servant. And a bond servant, if you guys don't know, is a servant who serves a master out of his own free will. He does it because he wants to do it. And the reason he would do that, you guys are probably saying, well, why would you want to be in the fields and being whipped and stuff like that? Well, that's not the relationship. We're a little off on the way we think. The relationship truly is they want to serve the master because of how well the master treats them, or how well that master will help them in life. They owe it to him. They just feel like they deserve it because he's such a great man. And in fact, the servants in that time, they weren't any less of a person. And in fact, it wasn't uncommon for servants in that time, the bond servants, to be better or smarter or richer sometimes even than the master. And as weird as that sounds, we don't grasp that. But you would have a servant who would be smarter in certain areas than maybe the master. Or if it comes to like trades, like we have welding and mechanics and stuff like that, if they were better at agriculture and stuff like that, they would serve that master to fill that deficiency. So we have the servant, not the normal servant we're used to following here. It's more of a servant servant's heart. They're serving this guy because he's such a great man or because of what that man did for him in the past. You guys grasp that? You guys get with that? The next thing we're going to look at is the money. Mine says bags of gold. What does your guys' version say? What? Talents. That's right. Anyone know what that is? You can't say it because you were at the last service. A talent is not a coin. You see up there this little coin in the hand? That's not what it is. We for a long time have thought, well, they give this guy 5 quarters. Yay! And they give this one quarter. That's not what it is. In fact, a talent is this. It's 15 years of average income. So what would that be? You don't know, right? Okay, let me put it in modern terms. Our average income in America is $48,977 per household. Times 15 years equals $734,655. So this master gave to one of them the equivalent in our time of $3,673,275. That's how much he gave. That's 5 talents. 2 talents, $1,469,310. And the last servant who only got one is $734,655. So right there we see, okay, we have a new vision of what a servant is back then, but we also see this talent that they're talking about. It's not a coin. It's quite a bit of money, okay? We're talking together, roughly about $6 million he gave 3 servants. So that's quite a bit of money. And the last thing we see here is the trust. We see the trust of the master to the servants. He trusts them while he goes to take care of his money, his goods. And he trusts them according to their abilities. This is showing us a relationship between the servants and masters that again, we probably wouldn't have seen at first. We see the master knowing their abilities, knowing who they are and what they can do, and giving them money accordingly. He knew that if he gave the third servant, 5 talents, he couldn't handle it. But he knew he could handle 1. So he knew the relationship there. He knew his servants very well, very personally. And I love the instruction that he gave him. He just said, invest that money. He didn't say exactly where. He didn't tell one of them, I want you to invest on the stock market, and I want you to invest it in property, and you in cattle. And, you know, he didn't give direction like that. He just said, hey, here's the money. Take care of it and invest it while I'm gone. He had trust in his servants. So now let's look at the market. Matthew 25, verse 16 through 18. The servant who received the 5 bags of gold began immediately to invest the money and soon doubled it. The servant with 2 bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money. But the servant who received the 1 bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. Now, so we don't get confused on the servants, I've named the servants 3 different names. The first one I named Trump, as in Donald Trump, the guy on The Apprentice, because he's an investor. Donald Trump, if you don't know, has gone bankrupt 3 different times. And became a millionaire 3 more times. So he has gone bankrupt and he keeps investing and investing. He doesn't do some good investments and he loses money. So there's Trump. The second one I call Blue, old Blue, because he's like a blue collar worker. He goes right to work. So we got Trump, Blue, and the last one I called Eeyore. Anyone know who Eeyore is? Who doesn't know who Eeyore is? Fantastic. That makes it easy. So the first one, we see Trump. We see him. As soon as he's given the money, he goes right out to invest. He doesn't waste any time. He's given the most and went out immediately to invest the money. Now, this investment isn't a one-time investment. It's not like, okay, he put all his money in one thing and he prayed that it would pay off. It wasn't like a lottery-type ticket. In fact, this investment was a repeating investment. He went out right away to invest, but he continued to invest that money and he made double the profit. The other thing here is that he lived off of that money as well. He invested the money, and he lived off of it at the same time. So he used it, he invested it, and he doubled it. And he used it by investing in business. And we have Blue, who was given less. He was given less than half of what Trump was given. But he went out right away, just as the first one did. And instead of investing, He went right to work. In fact, this isn't just work, it's labor. It's hard labor, sweat of the brow, blue-collar type of work. We don't know exactly where he worked. It doesn't give that kind of info. But we can guess, based upon the time period, based upon who Jesus was telling this parable to, that it's more than likely, it could be fishing. They could be working by going out and fishing because that was very popular. But more than likely, it was agriculture. He was gifted with physical labor. He could go out and he could plow a field and he could reap and he could sow and do that whole thing. And by doing that, by using his physical gifts, he doubled the money as well. And I love to see the fact that the master knew both of their abilities. He knew that one was gifted mentally and one was gifted physically. We see one going out and investing in business type ventures because mentally he was smart like that. He was keen on where to go and he knew exactly what to do up here. He may not have been gifted physically. In fact, you could probably think of him as some, you know, little shrimpy looking dude, you know, probably 5'2", real skinny. And if you were to tell him to go plow a field, it wouldn't happen. But just imagine. But he was gifted up here. And the other one, on the other hand, may not have been gifted as much up here. But he was gifted physically. But the best part about it is the heart of both of them was the same. The heart, no matter which gifting they had, was to go out and serve the master well and double the money. And they did it right away. And for each of them, they worked hard, but just in different ways. You guys grasp that? And in fact, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ. How many of you guys know the body of Christ analogy? Have you heard that? We're all part of the body of Christ. Each of us is different. Would you guys agree? None of us look the same. Kevin and I, we got some similarities, you know? We look pretty similar. Good head of hair on both of us. Tall, masculine looking, right? No, we don't at all. No, right? No. I'm a little shorter. I'm follically challenged. And I'm a little plumper on the middle area. But we all have giftings. Kevin's obviously is to be in velocity right now. He's been gifted to give you guys a message weekly, to build you up as part of the body. Mine isn't that right now. Mine is serving in a vertical with high school students and also helping with our school of ministry here. We're both part of the body, but we're really, really different. Would you guys agree? Really different? Okay. I would agree, Sue. But all of us are the same. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the right hand doesn't say to the foot, hey, I want to be a foot today. The toe doesn't say to the heart, hey, I want to be a heart today. No, we all have a place and a purpose in the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ. And that's what these two are showing us. The trump and blue are saying, hey, they both are part of the body of Christ, but they're drastically different. But they work the same amount. They go out and they strive to please the master. And last, we have Eeyore. We all know Eeyore. Oh, poor me. You know, oh, Eeyore. He's old lazy. He just kind of lumps around all the time. And I think last service they said he lives in a house of sticks and his tail falls off. And it's just a sad case, right? But Eeyore in the story is given the least of all the servants. Still a good amount of money, I would say. $750,000 is still a good chunk of change. But he's given the least, but he does the least. He goes out and instead of working for it, whether no matter what his giftings are, instead of working for it, what does he do? He goes out, he digs a hole in the backyard, and he puts his money in it. Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, let me say, Father's Day is coming up soon for me. And if my wife and kids got me $20, that'd be a good present. And I went in the backyard and dug a hole and buried it. What is that about? Right? We just don't get it. But the servant was no better off because of the blessing the master had for him. And in fact, it was like his life wasn't even affected by the blessings of the master. So we have the market. We had the investment. Now let's look at the return. Verses 19 through 23. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of gold said, "Sir, you gave me 5 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Next came the servant who had received the 2 bags of gold with the report, "Sir, you gave me 2 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." So we have the return. We have the return of the master. And I don't know if you guys have picked this up yet. This parable is kind of framing up for us Christ. You guys see how the master is Christ? We serve as the servants. And Christ is telling us in this parable, he's kind of telling his disciples at the time, "You guys are expecting me to come back soon." But the parable is saying, it will be a long time till I return. And 2,000 years later, we're still waiting. So it has been what I would consider a long time. But the master finally returns. And what does he do? He calls all his servants that he gave the money to, the responsibility, and he says, "Tell me how you did it. What'd you do?" Well, Trump tells him, "Hey, I invested in the stock market," or, "I invested in property," however he invested. And he says, "I've doubled your money." And the master says the best thing you could probably hear from a master, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then Blue comes up and he says, "Hey, I also invested your money and I doubled it." And the master again says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The thing I like to see here, though, is although now we know that there was a difference between Trump and Blue on how they invested their money, one of them worked by the sweat of their brow. The other one worked more with their mind and mentally strained themselves. When it comes down to the judgment day, what do they both say? "I invested your money." They both said the same thing. "I invested your money." They didn't really care about, they didn't want to brag about how they did it. "Well, I invested your money by going into the field. And oh, I had 12-hour days and it was so hot." And the other one, "Oh, I worked so hard in the office at night." No, no, no. They just said to the servant, or to the master, "I invested your money and I doubled it." That's all they cared about, was trying to please their master with what they did. And the master comes back and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The other part I like about this whole thing here is that you notice the master says, "You've been faithful in the little, and because of that, I will give you more." Now, it says more responsibilities, which for me, that's a blessing. I mean, if he gave me $3.5 million and called that responsibility to invest and live off of that, that's a pretty good life. Would you guys agree? But the master sees a total of almost $6.5 million as a small thing. And guys, if we're looking at this from the big picture, standing outside of it, not just as a parable, but as a vision into heaven, if heaven considers $6 million small, how great is heaven going to be? Think about it. $6 million is change that you get in your ashtray from your car for them. That's how great, how majestic, how awesome and big heaven is going to be. Do you guys grasp that? Can you guys see how Christ is saying, "Look, you've been faithful with the world. That's all cool. But that's nothing compared to what I have in heaven for you." So that's the return. And the last of the servants, there's a rationalization. Let's read it. It's verses 24 through 25. "Then the servant with the 1 bag of gold came and said, 'Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Here it is.'" Stop there. And when I say rationalization, guys, I don't know why this servant decided to do this. I don't know why he buried his money in the ground. I don't know why he came at the master like this. But I would guess this. If I gave three of you guys, if I gave one of you guys $5 and the other one $10 and the other one $20, and I told you guys, go spend that wisely and bring me back what you bought. If two of you guys came back and said, "Hey, look at all I bought for $20 and $10. Think about it. These servants are saying, "Look, you gave me this amount of money and I doubled it. How great was that?" And the master's saying, awesome. You're so great. And then this servant who thought he was being, I don't know what he thought. When he buried the money in the ground, he brings it back. It's probably all covered in mud and leaves. And he's like, yeah, here it is. He did nothing with it. So he's rationalizing why he did this. And what he does is he goes on the offensive. He tries to attack the master by saying, hey, you're going out there to crops you didn't even plant and taking them. You're cultivating land that you didn't even, or you're reaping from the land that's something you didn't even cultivate. Well, guys, nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that this master did that. I'm guessing he's just trying to be offensive to try to get this guy and say, oh, you're such a tough guy, a mean guy, that I didn't want to lose your money, so I hid it in the ground. I was a good servant. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And we're going to see next how the master handled this. Let's read the rest of it. Verse 26, but the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. You think I'm a hard man, do you? Harvesting crops I didn't plant and gathering crops I didn't cultivate. Well, you should at least have put my money into the bank so I could have some interest. Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of gold. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eeyore tried to shift the blame onto the master. He tried to tell the master, well, this is your fault I did this. You're such an evil, mean guy. I did this so you wouldn't hurt me. And the servant says, first off, you are a lazy, wicked man for trying to do this. You were so lazy, you wouldn't even try to do anything with the investment. But then he calls him out on the lie as well. He says, look, if I am such a mean guy as you say I am, why would you not at least put it in the bank and get at least 2% of a growth on it? Why wouldn't you try to get at least a few extra dollars from the bank? You know, the bank does pay you to put their money into it. Just do that. But no, you're too lazy to do that. And now you're trying to shift the blame on me. I'm not a tough man. I mean, let me ask you guys, does this guy sound like he's a tough guy? He leaves town, gives three of his servants $6.5 million. Does that sound like a mean guy? Does it sound like a mean guy who comes back and they say, hey, I went out and I worked for you and I wanted to please you so badly that I went out and I doubled the profit. And that master didn't say, okay, now go double it more, did he? No, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's party together. Does that sound like an evil, mean mafia guy? It doesn't, right? But yet this last servant tries to shift the blame on him and pull that. And the master not only tells him you're wicked and lazy and calls him out, he takes the talent from him. He takes $750,000 from him and gives it to the one who has what? 10 times that. And he says, look, if you're not going to do anything with what I invest in you, not only are you going to reap the consequences, I'm going to take that investment from you, I'm going to give it to someone else, and then I'm going to throw you into outer darkness. Which, if you guys don't know, outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth is the same words exactly that are used for hell. Well, why would he do this if he was a servant? Why would he send him away if he was a servant? I mean, if this is about Christ, does that mean we're his servants now and he could just choose to throw us away? Well, no, that's not what it is. This parable was written or was said to the 12 disciples. Now, granted, it was for them at that time, but overall, it's written to the church. And we are all part of the church. Calvary of Albuquerque is part of the church. But let's be honest, not everyone that goes to church is a Christian, are they? There are people that just come to say that they attend a church. There are people that come and just sit in the chairs every week and don't do anything with it. God is investing in you guys through Kevin and through his Bible, through his word, into your guys' life. And some of you guys are sitting there taking the investment in, burying it in the back, and not doing anything with it. So those people that say that they go to church and they're being invested in by God, I mean, are they really Christians? And you'll see in the judgment day, hey, God's saying, hey, I gave you the opportunity. I gave you the investment. You did nothing with it. Go. So the realization set in of what the master was going to do. The master took this, and I love the way he puts it. He says, look, if I invest in you, and you work for me, and you try to earn more on that investment, you will be blessed, and you will have abundance. And I'm not talking financially, guys. I'm talking just being blessed. But if you do nothing with it, it'll be taken from you, and you'll be thrown out. Hey, guys, I picked this week, when Kevin asked me to speak last week, I think he asked me like last sometime, I don't remember. He asked me last Sunday, can you teach? Yeah, yeah. By Monday, I think, when he talked to me, I wanted to teach this. And why did I want to teach this? Well, how many of you guys are eighth graders in here? Eighth graders, let me talk to you real quick. You guys are done. This is it. This is the last service in Velocity. It's time to go out. Kevin has been the tool that God has used for the past 3 years of your life to invest in your life. He's invested biblical truth. He's invested the love of God in you. And he's invested his love for you for 3 years. And now it's time to go. It's time for you guys to go and work with that investment in vertical or in high school. But for you sixth and seventh graders, the same thing. Kevin has come as a tool of God every week to you guys and invested for your whole mid-school. I mean, it may only be 1 year, maybe 2 years. But that's a year to 2 years that he's invested. For some of you guys, I'm talking to all you guys now, you guys gave your life to Christ here in the Plex for Velocity for the first time. Some of you guys, you rededicated your life here because of what God has shown you through Velocity. Some of you guys have just grown in your relationship with God because of the investment God is putting in you right now. But now it's time. If you're an eighth grader, you're going to go off to high school. It's a whole different game out there. And if you're a sixth or seventh grader, you have a summertime. You have 2 to 3 months to use that investment. And this is it. Think of it as right now, this day is it. This is the last day before it's time for you guys to decide whether you're going to invest or not. I heard a story, and I want to kind of share it with you. How many of you guys watch the Super Bowl again? Most of you guys. How many of you guys have at least watched a football game once in your life? Who hasn't watched a football game once in their life? I'll talk to you two later. Just kidding. I'm just totally kidding. Imagine this. Imagine we're watching the Super Bowl on TV. And remember this last year, the Giants were there. And they were down by a couple points. And it was going to the fourth quarter. And there was like this crucial drive. Well, in reality, they made these incredible plays. They won the Super Bowl. Biggest upset in Super Bowl history. Great story. But imagine this. Imagine if you would this. It's coming down to the last drive of the game again. And Eli Manning, they come back from the TV timeout, and you watch those cool commercials, and you come back to, and you're on the field, or you're watching it. And Eli Manning comes out, and the team gets out, and they get together, and they huddle up, and they sit there, and he's looking over, and he calls the plays. He's like, okay, red 54, green 6, whatever. Okay? And then he says, break. And what do they do? What are they supposed to do? Line up for the play. Well, instead of that, they say break, and everyone in the huddle takes off to the sideline. All right, well, maybe something happened. I don't know. Maybe there was an injury, ref called a timeout, play clock didn't work, whatever. So again, Eli Manning and the team comes out. Eli Manning, they huddle up again. They're like, okay, this time we're going to go red 6, green cross, 3 post. Break. And they take off to the sideline again. Well, we'd be watching, we'd probably be going, never really seen this kind of strategy, but okay, maybe they really need to talk about it. Maybe they needed 2 huddles to really get this play in. So finally, third play, they come out, they huddle up, they call the play again. Break! And they take off to the sideline. We don't get that. How many of you guys would watch a game if that's all they did is huddle up, and when they broke for the play, they just took off to the sideline? Would anyone watch that game? I mean, that's worthless. It's just people getting around there talking about what they're going to do, and they never do what they're going to do, right? Well, why do I tell you this? Well, guys, right now, what we're doing right now, today, right this second, is huddling up. We are huddled up. No, we're not all locked up like this, but guys, we're here. And right now, I'm calling a play. And in the past, Kevin calls the plays for Velocity. He comes up here, and he shares the word of God with you. He shares the word and the play from the coach to you guys to tell you how to win the game, to tell you how to go out, go to the line, and run the play. And let's be honest, you don't always succeed in it. I mean, not every team wins, but you went out and you tried. But guys, what we do most of the time as the church here in Albuquerque and in America, we're more like this lazy servant. We huddle up every week here. We huddle up on Wednesdays. We tell the play to you guys. In fact, Kevin gives you the opportunity to ask questions about the play on Wednesday night sometimes. And then he answers those back. You guys have such a great huddle time. And what do when we break out of here? You don't go run the play. You guys run back to your schools, you run back to your homes, and you do nothing with that play. You guys go to your schools, you don't talk about what you learned on Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday. You go back to your homes, and some of you guys, there are people in your homes that are not Christians and are going to hell. And you don't talk about the play. You don't run the play that we talked about this week. You just run back to the sidelines. Guys, people are tired of watching you guys huddle up. They're tired of seeing you guys go to church and never hearing about what it does to them. Guys, you've had 3 years, if you're an eighth grader, to hear the play. You've had 9 months this year in Velocity going through the book of Genesis on how to run plays. And in this parable that we're talking about here is, are you guys going to run the play? Are you going to go out and invest in any way that God has gifted you to invest? Last service, how tall are you? 4'6". Who's the youngest person in here? Who's under the age of 11? Who's 11? How old are you? 10 years old. I have a 10-year-old and a 4'6" lady right there. They can't save the world. Right? Wrong. Well, let me tell you what right now the world sees. Let me tell you what those people in that tin building over there see, those adults. They see a 10-year-old and a 4'6" person, and they think nothing of it. Oh, you have fun in children's ministry. Do some crafts or snacks or whatever you guys do in Velocity, you know? Always screaming. You guys can't do anything. Guys, that's not true. God has given the power of a 10-year-old and a 4'6" person, and they can save the world if they go out and they invest in the way that they're supposed to invest, the way God has gifted them to invest. She may save every 10-year-old in the world. She could. Everyone under 5 feet tall, it's all your responsibility. That's it. Everyone is a part of the body, and they can do different things. Not everyone can witness to a 10-year-old. They're not going to listen to me. I'm a 29-year-old fogey. I got three kids. I got a 10-year-old kid. I mean, come on. I'm a dad. I'm an old guy. But 10-year-olds will listen to 10-year-olds. 4'6" people, how tall are you? You guys see eye to eye on things, right? Literally. That's the thing. We're all part of the body. We're all called to invest in the way we can invest. Some of us, we may be smarter than the others. Some of us may speak better than others. Some of us may show love better than others. Not everyone's going to be a pastor or a teacher up here. Not everyone is gifted musically and can do worship. That's just the truth. But the truth is, people who can do worship do their best to multiply their blessing. People that can teach do their best to multiply their teaching. And let me tell you, if you can do anything and you're not doing it, you're no better than that third Eeyore type of servant. Do you guys grasp that? This is your moment. This is your summer, and this is your high school years to where you can invest in what God has given you. Do you guys agree? So let me wrap it up with this. We talked about the E-Trade commercial at the beginning. It's so easy, eh? Baby can do it. Guys, investing with what the Master has given us is so easy. A 10-year-old can do it. It's so easy. A 4'6" mid-schooler can do it. The question is, are you going to go out and are you going to go work for it? or are you going to bury a hole in the back and put your investment in there? Let's pray. God, thank you for writing this parable to us. Thank you for chastening us through it, to teach us what it means to be invested. Thank you for showing us how much you've given us and how much we have to go out and invest for you, God. I pray that through this summer, through high school, through mid school, that these students will go out and they will invest everything that you have given them. They will do it by the sweat of their brow. They will do it by racking their brain. They will do it by witnessing to 10-year-olds and 4'6" people. God, we're all made differently, but we all have a gift of how we can invest for you, God. And my prayer to you, prayer is that these students will one day go before you and you will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." God, we love you so much. And I know our heart is to share you. And I pray this summer that we will go out and we will change everyone that we come in contact with, no matter how hard it may seem, that we will work so hard to change this world for you, God. We love you so much. In your name, amen.